So Happy New Year's and Merry Christmas. As we gather on this cold evening, we come together to celebrate the great manifestation or epiphany of Christ to the Magi, the three Gentile wise men from the East. But it's also that post-holiday, that dark time of year physically outside. And it's this time of year that many of us call liminal space. The word liminal comes from the Latin word which means threshold, the space between and betwixt. It's a time that life as usual doesn't necessarily feel right any longer. A change is needed, but you're not sure what to replace it with. It's when you're between what was once your comfort zone and that sense of newness in your life. It's a time when we need to pause, to resist the temptation to simply push through or retreat, but to be still and to listen. And it would seem that at the beginning of each calendar year, we come to a natural threshold that I think we often miss or we simply quickly fill with New Year resolutions and some self-made promises that are quickly forgotten. And I think that attitude is easily carried right over into our spiritual life. But before we even begin to examine our own liminal spaces, we must first be confident that we stand on a foundation that's rooted in God's unearned and always present love for us, no matter who we are, where we are, what we've done or haven't done. This is the ultimate and sacred starting point, but where do we go from here? What direction does our spiritual journey take us? How do we dwell in liminal space? How do we better discern the threshold that stands before us? Do we step forward or not? As you can see, this is the time of the year where there are usually many more questions than answers. So too is the structure of my homily. So using some of the wisdom from my dear friend and author, Christine Walters Paintner, my aim this evening is to open up the gospel text and to leave you with many open-ended questions for you to take back and for you to ponder. So sit back and see if you can find yourself in the text of this gospel, of the journey of Magi, and invite you to consider the seven clauses. 1, follow the star to where it leads. The story begins with the Magi calling upon the grace of night vision. Navigation in ancient times is largely done by stars and constellations. Travelers had to know the night sky and trust the path through darkness and unknowing. The paradox we encounter is that it's the darkest nights which produce the sighting of the most stars. So as you cross this threshold into the new year, what is the star beckoning to you in the night? As you stand under a black sky of unknowing, which star is shimmering for you? 2. Embark on the journey, however long or difficult. Herod gathers all his chief priests and scribes to find out more about this holy birth. Instead of searching out for himself, he sends the Magi on his behalf. While Herod seeks outside advice and sends others, the Magi make the journey for themselves. So when preparing for a trip, do you research where you're going? Do you fall back on an old packing list that you've used in the past, hoping that it's going to suffice for this journey to this new destination? Likewise, on your spiritual journey, are you going to the same place, on the same route, packing the same things, very safe and comfortable? Or are you ready to go on a new journey, to a new and deeper place? Is that perhaps more frightening for you? What do you need to add to your old packing list? What new spiritual tools and practices will be needed? 3, open yourself up to wonder along the way. Scriptures tell us that the Magi were overjoyed at seeing the star. I'd like to imagine them practicing this kind of divine wonderment at all the journey along the way. Moments which spoke to the sacred call. When we lose our sense of wonder, our hearts become hardened and cynical. We forget to believe in miracles and blessings that are part of our daily lives. As you enter into the new year, how might you embrace the gift of wonder? What practices open your heart to God and to others? 4, bow down at the holy encounters in messy places. When the Magi enter the messy, earthy place of the manger, it says they bow down and they prostrate themselves. Prostration is the act of humility and honor, as well as full body connection with the earth. Certainly, we're used to encounters with the sacred and sacred places like here. We all have our ritual and body movements of our places of worship, bowing and kneeling and genuflecting. And actually, in my case, and in Father Miguel's case, once a year, we actually prostrate right on this carpet on Holy Thursday, recalling our ordinations and our call to be service to others. But what about the sacred in ordinary places? I guess the first question is recognizing the sacred. We seem to be looking for the extraordinary and forget that each face that we see every day in our lives, they're all sacred. Ever look at the faces you see of the people you walk by? As you encounter the sacred in the most ordinary of places, how might you express this embodiment of appreciation and honor? 5, carry your treasures and give them away freely. The Magi reveal the gifts they have brought of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Gold represents the honor brought to the king. Frankincense is a connection to the divine by raising our prayers heavenward. And myrrh, a holy oil of anointing. What are the treasures that you carry into the new year? How might you offer them even more generously to others throughout the year? 6, listen to the wisdom of dreams. The Magi are warned in a dream not to return to Herod and to listen to this night wisdom. The scriptures are filled with stories of dreams delivering important messages and facilitating discernment. Our own night dreams arrive unbidden and laden with mystery and meaning. I think the biggest challenge we throw at God each day is our lack of interest in providing God any time to speak with us. Ever have a friend or relative, and when you meet him, you can hardly get a word into the conversation? Well, isn't our prayer life like that at times? That when we do find time for our prayer life, we spend most of the time talking to God about all the desires and things that we need and how we feel, which God already knows. For me, the time right before I fall asleep and when I wake up is probably the only chance God has of getting through to me. So in the new year, how might you be able to make the space and time for God to be heard in your life? And lastly, 7, go home by another way. After receiving the gift of the dream, they choose another way home. In truth, after any journey of significance, there's no going back to the way it was before. We always return with new awareness if we've been paying attention. So what is the usual path you have traveled, which has become suffocating? And how can this be a year you call forth new directions in your own life? So on this Feast of the Epiphany, I invite you to find a window of time in the coming week to Ponder this story and these questions in your heart and see what insights they awaken in you. And maybe it will lead you to begin your new year in a different fashion. Instead of making resolutions which only reinforce a sense of internal dissatisfaction, perhaps now you may be open to a new journey with eyes searching to see the light, to see the truth, to see the love, to see the goodness, wherever it is found, by whatever name it is called. Let this be the year we are like the Magi, willing to go on the same kind of stretching and perilous journeys to recognize our God, who is forever present, filled with mercy, always loving, and freely given to all. For your light has come, and the glory of the Lord indeed shines upon you.